Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, thank you for giving me your time. Today I'm here with
Amaya Shepherd.
And you can give us like a baby introduction if you want to, who you are, what you do, where you're from.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I am Amaya Shepherd. I like to say I'm an overall ecosystem, like in entrepreneurship, ecosystem tech builder. I've been in tech for the last 10 years. I've been in venture capital for the last 7 years. I helped invest in over 124 early stage startups all over the world. I've been the director of a couple accelerator programs in LA. I'm a limited partner in a fintech fund. I am a pitch coach, and I run entrepreneurship programming and funding here at USC Greif.
Yes, and you went to Columbia, right?
Yes, in New York City.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Woo, okay, jumping in. I like to say, well, first, I went to Columbia from South Central LA. Yeah. I mean, I live in Inglewood. I'm from Inglewood, which is, LA is a very small place. So I like to say, like, if you don't know, like, basically, nobody knew where I was going.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, so why didn't you go to Spelman? Why didn't you go to Berkeley? And yeah. I'm like, I got into Columbia. I got into Barnard. But even I didn't know what it was. So really, I got the best education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did everything. I got sent to India. I was everything. I was in everything. Yeah, I did it all.
Making the most of what you
had. I just loved it. I had a great time being in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really put us into classes that took advantage of the city.
Yeah.
So, like, my favorite class I can talk about is Dance in New York City.
Okay.
Where I went to different dances at, like, the historical places in New York City. And, like, I saw all the dances and stuff. So, but was it super, super difficult? Am I sick because I, like, went through that experience?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like war stories. I like to say sorry to the people, but like it's like the Hunger Games.
At the school?
Yeah.
In the class? Like competing for a grade?
It's just super competitive. Like yeah. Everybody's like, I don't think it's, everybody was conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like during my time, so I'm like, I don't know how it is now. But I was there from 2013, 2017, and all the kids and stuff, they're, like, from those private schools and, like, boarding schools.
Yeah.
So, like, they're at a level that's already at, like, Columbia level.
Yeah.
So, me coming from a small girls' Catholic school in Inglewood, I'm, like, fighting for my life. Like, whoa, everybody learned this already?
Mm-hmm.
But then, okay, I got to that level where I'm competing on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's, like, not welcoming like how it is at USC where people are nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, people want to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like that.
What do you think are like the advantages of starting at a lower point than people who are like already say prepared for a university like Columbia University?
Learning. I've always been a person where being a lifelong learner was something instilled in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just made me be okay with starting from the bottom again.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, I can always start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know how to figure it out, to navigate systems and figure out how to figure out who to talk to,
mm-hmm.
to do the thing.
Yeah.
So that gave me an advantage because I didn't know anything and I was super naive.
Mm-hmm.
So things didn't really hit like, touch me like that because I was just like,
well, I don't know what that means.
You know, it didn't even matter to me. I'm like, well, I'm on to the next thing, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah. I went to a private Catholic school for high school from going to public school like my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of noticed the same like sort of shift when I got there. It was like, yo, how am I supposed to know any of this information? Like, I was always smart, but I wasn't really challenged growing up
right.
because everything was already easy, especially
mm-hmm.
being in like the Detroit public school system. It's not the best school system, but it gets the job done. We got people that's smart coming out of there. But when you get to a school like, it's a high school in Michigan called Cranbrook. When you get to a school like that, that's like one of those schools that you got to be like an incubator from birth
yeah.
to sort of thrive
to
at
even
a school.
Try, yeah.
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 And then you got your shining stars who end up making it from
right.
public schools as well. But I went to a school called the University of Detroit Jesuit.
Mm.
And I was an all-boy Catholic school, and it was like the best case scenario for my situation, because if I would have went to the public high school in Detroit, I'll do good, but I wouldn't be pressed to challenge myself or find different parts of myself because, one, I already know everybody there. Two, is the work is still the same level. Yeah. I'm going to just do it and get it out the way. And I feel like I would be really cooked if I was going to the public high school during COVID. Because then I just do every, like, they didn't really have a set structured plan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And at the private school, they did. So it was like, I still gained something through COVID. But I say all that to say, when I got there from the public school, I already know, like, you know, what it is to talk to teachers, what it is to network, what it is to know people. A lot of them, or a lot of the kids at the high school weren't really used to that. They just used to having to do my work and get the grade. Do my work, get the grade. I do my work, talk to the teacher, you know what I'm saying, communicate if something wrong. I got better people skills while they were more so on the analytical side.
Right. And that's something that really, with my experience at with the students here at USC, that's something that during my tenure, I really am trying to make sure that's important. Like those communication skills, those soft skills, quote unquote, those are the skills that you really need in entrepreneurship and business. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't really good at that, you're only going to get so far. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you're right. It is instilled in you very young, but you could always learn it. You could always practice because everybody don't just be good at going up to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that's very hard. Like, so I try to really think, I have my master's in industrial and organizational psychology because I really saw how it's a mental thing too, like with like business and all these types of things, and you gotta get yourself ready to even be ready to go out there and put yourself out there.
Yeah, and one thing I've noticed, I was talking with a couple of friends, is that it's a lot more, I don't want to label it social anxiety, but like people are a bit more socially anxious when it comes to just being at school. Like if I see, when I see videos on like the internet of like they'll be like high school in the 2000s, high school in the 1980s, and you see people like
socializing,
sitting and talking to each other, these public interviews in school with people they probably don't even know, haven't talked to. Nobody's afraid to walk up to the teacher and say something outrageous. It's just there to laugh. But now I walk around, people don't even look up from their phone.
Yeah. You know,
there's so many people I almost walked into because they just not looking up. And sometimes I walk towards them to see if they gonna look up, and they just don't. No. And it's, I don't know. How do you suggest go about that?
I feel you. I think that, especially in LA, people are always just like, people are mean, you know, very standoffish. They only are very transactional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is almost like an example of what you're talking about in school, where like, well, you're kind of ignoring what's going on around you, but you are so into your thing. The only thing, this is what I say. You need to find people, you need to know what you like to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I think people are activity-based now. So, no, I'm not going to look up because I don't know you. I don't know what you're about. I never met you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds crazy, but it's just like, I get it. I'm a person where, shout out to 220, the new hard seltzer brand at USC. But I'm like, what is around me? What's my 220 is like my vision. So I try to be more present and get my screen time down. Shout out to my best friend who's making sure I get my screen time down.
Yeah.
Because I am addicted to my phone, you know? So I think that first I try to give empathy to like the people around me to be like, we're all on our phone. No, don't be like, you're all on your phone and look at everybody around you. So I'm like, first that's happening, but also like give people a reason to look up. Like, are you just in my space trying to take my energy and be an energy vampire?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you like trying to encourage me or, you know, help me or help me learn something or something? You
how
know?
Can you bring value to this potential, you know, relationship?
And I think that that's what people hate about LA. And I just am an example of that because I'm from here and that's true. But I'm like, no, like, I don't know. It's so many people out here and it's a lot trying to take your energy. So,
yeah. But something I notice is, like, a lot of life is just value exchange. And you see that in not just in relationships or, like, across people and cultures, but even in the real world. Like, when you go outside, trees are able to thrive because we breathe out carbon dioxide. So it's a part of natural order for things to seem transactional or what was I saying before? What was it called? Based, I forgot. Oh, value exchange. Mm. There you go, there you go, there you go. Mm. The value exchange is already etched into what the world is, right, into the universe. Yeah. And so I think we do a bad job of recognizing that.
Yeah, letting those moments happen. Yeah. Because we are so consumed and distracted. Mm-hmm. So I do believe our goal should be to try to figure out how to be less distracted as mm-hmm. people. But Dr. Umar, you can't therapize everybody. So what, like, if, and for me, I really love that you're saying this because I let my life happen like that because mm-hmm. I always be like, time is a construct. So, yeah. Like, I mean, if I'm wherever I am and you happen to see me, that was supposed to happen, you know, because mm-hmm. I'd just be all over the place, you know. So I think you're right. Like, how can we give into those moments of serendipity and joy and just like being present? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just about reminding ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, because when you do it as for yourself, you're being an example to somebody else.
Yes. And that actually takes me to what we wanted to talk about today is, dang, what did you just say? It's the thing about epigenetics. You have to be active in the change that you want to see. And a lot of times we become addicted to some, or we have bad habits and we think that's just the way life is because we don't remember when the habit started. Mm. So we think it's a part of us naturally. And I should have looked at what epigenetics was. I don't want to give a wrong definition. But basically the video I was watching was saying that to change your addictions, you have to be a part of it. So
yeah,
take those small steps. You know what I'm saying? Change your eating habits. Yeah. It's what you're eating. Is what you eat makes you act a certain way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it seems crazy, but you are what you eat.
No, it doesn't.
Health is wealth.
Health is wealth. I knew that was coming next. That's the natural saying after that.
Yeah.
So, no, but you're right. I think, and we have awareness. We have access to as much access as we ever had as people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was talking to my teacher about that. We're not supposed to know this many people, like.
And that's why I'm not looking up yeah. for your random self walking up to me. I'm like, I'm doing what I'm doing because you're one of a billion people that I could possibly meet. Yeah. So if we're supposed to meet, we met.
True.
And honestly, literally, it happens to me all the time. My Uber driver, like maybe 3 weeks ago, I never give out my card. I never talk. I just be like, I do not want to talk to people. Because mm-hmm. I do. I feel like I do have social anxiety. But I just be like, ugh. But he was talking about his business. Of course, I'm like, you know what? Let me help you. Let me give you my card. And I'm just going back my life this week. And he is, he was telling me how he just got out of prison. He got a new job.
Okay.
And he wanted to do a business. And the man, I'm walking down the street this week, and the man is doing his job like he's like a worker outside doing the, what is it called? The arboretum and stuff, like the greenery. So he's just across the street.
Oh.
Yes, doing that. And I'm like, and he's like, hey, hey, hey. I'm walking like, oh my God, I just be like, please, no. And he's like, you remember me? I'm like, I do remember you. I did help you. And so it's like, you run into people will run into you if they're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're supposed to be around you because of the environment, mm-hmm. you know, but you have to be aware of what you're putting into your environment. And I think we're distracted.
Yeah. And we also,
yeah, we're distracted.
And we also have to take notice to like the things falling out of our life. You know, certain relationships fall apart. Some people may seem like they want to be led astray. Like, you want to hold people into your life naturally. You're like, oh, I don't want them to leave because so many things are going to change. But sometimes those people have to go for new things to step in.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to sort of understand that concept. But now I'm getting like I'm grasping it.
I just be like, anytime, I was just telling my little high school student yesterday, anytime I'm thinking about somebody else too much, I'm not thinking about myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sorry, because why am I trying to save somebody else? Why am I trying to go out of my way to help them so much? If they really want to help, you're close enough for me to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to be like thinking that hard on like how to save this relationship or try to like, I don't know. I'm just like, I need to think about myself.
Yeah.
Like, am I being healthy? Am I worrying about what I'm eating? Am I getting my exercise? Am I literally doing the Maslow hierarchy for myself? Because mm-hmm. I'm trying to do it for somebody else.
Yeah. And once you do it for yourself, you start to see the correct people fall into your life.
Because why would I want to have people who are having bad habits next to me all the time? Like, yeah. I'm already going to have bad habits around me. Mm-hmm. Like, period. That's just the way it is. But the people closest to me, like, we're all trying to figure out this whole thing. So it's just like, it is hard trying to figure out those relationships, but it's like, I had to do the same thing. If you're not trying to do good or trying to figure out these habits, because now I'm looking at you, mm-hmm. and now my habit's bad because we around each other.
Yeah. And a lot of this stuff is environment-based almost. It's, you can only pick from the bunch that you were surrounded
that
by.
That I'm already around. These are the people I'm always going to be around anyway.
So how do you suggest people change their environment, even if they're in a position where they don't have that much control? Like, now I have more autonomy because I'm a college student. Right. You know? But kids in high school don't want to hang around, you know, drug dealers, the gang members. Like, so how do you suggest that they change their environment?
Honestly, we're all a product of our environment, period. Like, mm-hmm. I be having habits, I'm like, dang, it don't matter how high you get. This hood thing is just, I'm not even like hood, but it's just like the way I grew up, I'm like, this is really impacting me in different ways. Mm-hmm. And so, but the way that I feel like when I was younger, I got out is really trying to take advantage of the resources that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I grew up, I'm a former foster youth. California does really great for foster youth.
Really?
Yes.
That's sweet. It's
very. So, I mean, I was in a lot of different programs.
Yeah.
But also, I remember I used to go out of my way to get internships.
Mm.
So, like, if I'm in, so figure out what you're interested in. Like, I really feel like that is what's going to help us learn ourselves better. Is to be like, okay, I can make decisions for myself because I know that I like these things. I know I'm going to react this way for this situation. So putting yourself into situations that you already like and figuring out people who are already will help you do that. Because once you say, oh, well, I like to do farming, somebody around you gonna be like, dang, I do know somebody who farms.
Yeah.
Let me go figure it out for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it might sound just like that.
Yeah.
And they might be like, but at least they did it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that really figuring out what you like and then seeing what resources are already available to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we have the library. The library has so many resources that are super, super untapped. You can take classes at the library. You can check out seeds at the library. You can 3D print at the library. Literally, check out your local library if you're really trying to get out of your environment that you feel like is blah, 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 blah. You know, go find a safe space. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the library is one that, you know, for three generations has always been a place. And for me, it was too. Shout out to Inglewood Library.
Yeah. Where do you think we... Well, no, I'm tired of asking questions. I kind of want to talk. But
Dead.
Yeah, but it's... Reading became unpopular.
The kids can't read.
Yeah, they can't. I tutor.
But my mom can't read.
Why?
She has dyslexia.
Oh, okay.
But that's not an excuse to not know how to read. Okay. Because she just, like, so growing up, like, I knew she had dyslexia. I didn't live with my mom, so it was just a little bit different. But I learned she had it, and, I mean, I would always like read the subtitles for her and stuff like during movies, but it didn't click for me. And then growing, like knowing that my grandma, she's from Jamaica and she mm-hmm. came to America and my mom's her oldest kid we grew up very religious. So the fact that like my mom is like, she just is like her own person. So they didn't try, I don't say they try, didn't try hard, but once she didn't do it how they wanted her to do it, they just was like, well, if she did it, she get it. She don't, she don't.
Mm.
And then, so we went to Dubai like 2 years ago.
Mm.
And I really had to read the menu for her. I was like, dang, Amaya, she really don't read. And she don't text.
She don't.
She like, she she'll, just she'll talk to text.
Oh.
So like, she created a lifestyle for herself. So, and like, everybody reads the menu for her. Like, she just knows what she want. So I was like, dang, like, that is, I think, for me, when I went to Dubai with her and like that, I realized that I was more aware of the situation in America. Because I'm like, dang, like, this is from back in the day. Mm-hmm. And this is a person who has a learning disability. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, this happens. But then let's factor in that right now most kids have a short attention span.
Yeah.
Therefore, that impacts their learning, right? So
yes.
I try to kind of treat everybody, me and myself included, that we all have a learning disability. We all, like, you know, we all need to just...
Something we always overcome.
You know?
And once you actively work towards overcoming whatever that, you know, label.
But the kids aren't doing it.
No, they aren't.
They can't read. They don't want
to
read.
They lack the critical thinking skills to even want to know how to read. It's we cater too much to all communities at this point. We always give them exactly what they want, or we find a way to structure the system so that they can move along easier.
That's why I feel like, but you should challenge yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why examples are important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you being who you are, even as a college student, going out to the community and showing, like, you know, I'm a young Black man who is trying to do better with my life, that could change somebody to be like, maybe I will figure out something, you know? So I feel you. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to be so hard on the kids. They can't read. We know that. And they all want to be influencers. This is statistics. This isn't just I'm not just being a podcast bro right now. But I think that there are kids who want to do stuff and that are screaming for help, you know? So I try to be around those kids. Mm-hmm. I try to be around I try to see what programs in my city are doing the work and are impacting, like, the youth. Because that is something that I care about. Because you asked me, what did I care about when we started? And I'm like, dang, I never talk about. I love the youth. I think that, you know, they're the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that older than y'all.
Yeah.
Like, but I always say when I came back from college, I was like, I never really seen like 20 people in their 20s.
Yeah.
Like, or like their 30s. I'm like, where were they? They were doing something. I don't know. But so
nobody reached back.
You know? So I feel like I try to be, like, aware. And I think all of my friends, for the most part, we be doing our work. We mm-hmm. be impacting. So.
Mm-hmm. And that community piece is extremely important, because if you can explain something to a child, you can learn so much more. Like, explaining something to somebody around your age is cool. You'll still be able to learn the information. But what I notice is, like, even when I talk to my little sisters, they're like 9 and 12. I'll talk about complex subjects with them, but I'll take it and not dumb it down, but I'll break it down in a way to where they can understand it. And by the time I do that, I done reconstructed the entire thing within my brain. So now I'm able to fly through that and learn the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And so be able to teach those younger than you, and then be able to teach yourself. How can you be your own teacher? I like to watch a lot of YouTube videos. Like, growing up, I was always interested in YouTube. I learned how to do different stuff for sports on YouTube. Like, when I was
YouTube University.
Yes, I was playing basketball, and I was like 4 or 5, but I really wanted to know how to do the thing behind the back, underneath the legs. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to just keep watching the video. So I'll watch the videos, and I'll try it out. And then once I learned that, I'll watch another video, figure that out. I used to spam, like, football highlights and just watch them all day. And I don't know what it is about me, but I can sit and watch the same thing for hours on it. I could play it back, the same video. I might change the song, you know what I'm saying, play some music behind it, but I can watch the same video. And I love picking up things by just watching them and then going outside and trying it. And people ask me how I can do so many different things, because I like to observe what I'm watching. So even when I'm watching TikTok, say I'm watching TikTok and I really want to learn how to DJ because I really like the mixes, like, hear the sounds and stuff. So when the DJ videos will pop up, I listen. And it may not seem like a lot because the person's just there, like, bopping their head, you know, playing the music. But you sort of can see
the,
like,
turntable. Yeah. And them doing the
they pressing
switches,
something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they pressing some. So I'm like, all right, they pressing some. It's a button. And I'm okay, you can extract the voice and have only the beat, and then you can extract the beat and only have the voice. So it's different things. And then when I go out into the real world, if I go to a party and it's a DJ booth, okay, not going to participate in the party. I'm going to sit behind the DJ booth and watch him. I went to this, like, small get-together. My friend had a birthday party, and there was a DJ there, and nobody was really there. And I was hearing, I'm like, dang, I really want to learn. You don't really get anything you don't ask for, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right. So I go up, I chill around the DJ booth, just watching, not being the pest, asking too many questions, let him get into his flow and stuff. But once the party started to die down, that's when I was like, yo, can you teach me how to do this? He's like, yeah, I can teach you how to do it. So I sat there for, like, 3 hours. Like, it was like one in the morning. I'm sitting here learning how to DJ.
And this is actually something that I really like that you shared that story, because we need to be more audacious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I'm really, like, bullish. Tech word, VC word.
But it makes sense because you push people to think.
Yeah.
People need that. Yeah. It helps to be pushed over the edge.
And people want to talk about themselves.
Yes.
Like, I get so many times people are like, oh, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to be bothering you. Literally, I talk all day. Like, people ask me questions all day. Mm-hmm. So being like, you're bothering me is counterproductive.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I'm like, it's really like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we be okay with even like knowing that you want to learn this new skill, being mm-hmm. a DJ, then you put that out in the energy, and then you go to this party where it happens to be a wonderful DJ.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that really is rare. And then you're like, okay, let me get out of myself to be closer to the source.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes like a whole level of bravery and courage, because I always say, you know, you don't want to be weird, but then somebody always tells me, it's only weird if you make it weirder, Maya.
Yeah, like, it's only awkward if you... embarrassment only exists if you allow yourself to be embarrassed.
You know, Drea is living in her ex-husband's mansion right now.
Who's Drea?
Drea Michelle.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm like, this is just crazy. I know, this is old school, but I'm like, the old school baddie. but she's living in her ex-husband's house with a whole other baby daddy. And it's just like...
It's all three of them?
Yes. And the ex is suing her to get out the house. I'm like, she is shameless.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we need to be like that.
But
it's like, you know, you go up... If you want to learn something, you go up to the person mm-hmm. and you put yourself out there. And then he was talking to you for 3 hours.
Yeah, we just zoned out and was just into it. So
that's how it happens. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. How do you allow those moments for serendipity and for connection and to be aware? So I think it really goes back to knowing what you want and going after it, mm-hmm. right? And how do you get yourself ready to like to not be fearful, to be open, to speak up.
Yeah. It was, one, I sort of let go of the idea that, oh my God, I'm going to look stupid. Okay.
Well, first, me yesterday to my student, because I did I've been doing pitch coaching for the Best Buy Tech Teen Centers all over LA.
Okay.
Shout out. And she was talking about, you know, being embarrassed and looking stupid and stuff. Okay, what if you look stupid?
Like, you can just laugh.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I always kind of have a contingency plan and be like, okay, well, if you feel like this, then what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, who cares? And then I always say, at the end of the day, I don't know y'all. Like, I will never see y'all again. I'm so sorry to report this.
That is true. Yes, especially if I'm in an environment where I know I'll never see people again. That's when I start stepping up to do even more. Like, being in public, you want to watch you want to watch the public, what you give the public. But like, if I'm in public and I want to try something new, if I want to ask a crazy question, I'll ask the crazy question, because chances is I'll never see this person again. You know what I'm saying? So if I let that pass by me, I don't want to be haunted by saying, oh, I should have did this, I should have did that. Because I had too many moments like that in my life already. And I know I'm only 19, but I was super aware of that. I'm at a really young age where it was like, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. And I hate that feeling. So
that's why I always say, people ask me that. And I'm like, I don't really feel like that. I'd be like, I do what I want.
Yes.
Like, I do my own tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real, I'm Tom Cruise in here. Like, I be doing it. So everything I ever said I wanted to do, I did it.
You did it. Yeah.
So I just be like, I want everybody else to feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how I am. I'm a Leo. I have a strong personality. You know, I went to Columbia, too. So, like, that brings a whole nother level of, like, I am a white man,
mm-hmm.
like, on a whole nother level. I'm like, I will bring that
people
energy.
Would not get that. You know?
Like, I just be like, no, like, I will big Suge Knight you.
Let's
you
do know? It. Yeah. So,
I be like, I'm not saying everybody got to be like me,
mm-hmm.
but I do want you to feel like you're getting what you want. And mm-hmm. for women especially, Like, I went to Women's College, Barnard Columbia. So it's like they asked us, what do we want? And they were like, well, they never asked women that question.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like for us as like minorities, quote unquote, the new majority minorities, shout out to Kiana Patterson. But we have to think about what do we want out of this, because they'll be like, oh, well, you want it to look like their leadership, right? Or what it looks like for other people.
Yeah.
You need to figure out what you want your life to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, quite frankly, you better put it in ChatGPT and have it roadmap it out for you.
Yes.
And do that.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel, not shameful, but I'll feel upset that I'm trying to, hold on, I wrote it down, trying to live a life that I observe. You know, trying to live like how I think I see people.
Right. That's what I was saying. That's why you have to really take that noise away and be like, well, what do I want?
Who is Austin?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why I love college. I love the way y'all are thinking. I love, like, I don't know. This is what I missed. This is how I felt at Columbia. I'm like, everything felt like it was at my fingertips. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I love that y'all feel like that. Because I was feeling super, like, jaded. I before I came here, it was looking real, like, nobody was investing in people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the companies just weren't that good. Like, I'm so sorry to report. It was just a hard funding environment. So I just felt disillusioned with my job, with my purpose, with my passion. And coming here, seeing the students and how, like, y'all are learning things that I'm like, dang, I did learn that 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love it for you, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, this is fun. Like, this is going to change your life.
Yes.
Once you learn this, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be over.
Yeah.
So to kind of see that happening in real time, I'm like, it makes me encouraged. And it encouraged me to try new things.
Yes.
So I feel like this year I've been like, when is the last time you tried something new?
Yesterday.
Dang, that was a good one.
Yeah, what I do yesterday. I was just about to talk about it too. I had a
that's how good I am.
Yes, I had a presentation yesterday, and I've always wanted to like start my presentation with like an intro song, and it was so funny. Like, I thought it was like the most hilarious thing ever. And if I feel like something is funny, I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying?
What was the intro song?
I can't really play it on here. But
what was it? What was the name?
It was On My Level by Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, my goodness. Throwback.
Yeah, and I used to listen to that song a lot. Well, no, I didn't turn it on myself. My uncle used to play that song all the time. He would spam that song in the Ford Focus, and me and my cousin would be like, bro, he don't know no other song. And it got to a point where
we
banging it too.
Oh my God, I love that.
I was like, hey, watch this. Because it was only me and my partner, Nala. And I'm like, bro, I'm about to play it. I'm going to do an intro song. Would you be cool with that? She was like, do whatever you want.
Go for it.
Yeah, so I had it queued and stuff. And then when it was time to go up, I loved how it worked because it was the end of the class. If you can get people to pay attention to your presentation at the end of a 2-hour lecture, you got it, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, bet. I started the song. It's the champagne pouring, big blunt rolling. Like it's they like, who? Is he okay? Is he doing that? Yeah. And I'm letting the cuss words play. Well, we all grown in here.
Oh,
I could play the cuss words or whatever. And I like that it was a Wiz Khalifa song because I was pitching an idea about a. Wait, I don't want to give it up. It was.
This is how everybody be. Y'all pissed me
actually,
off so
I'm gonna
bad.
I'm gonna say it. It was about a weed movie theater. And so, like, a luxury loft
this
style.
Is LA.
Yeah, a luxury loft style weed movie theater that was membership based. And
Everything is membership based.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about getting my membership back to the Gathering Spot.
What's that?
Gathering Spot is the Black Soho House. And
do
you know
Soho
houses? That's why I'd be coming here at USC and I'd be like saying stuff and I'd be like, y'all don't even know what a co working space is.
Nope.
So, oh my God. It's hard. By the way, come visit me at the basement at Bridge Hall. It's my co-working space, Blackstone Launchpad. You can work there. That's what a co-working space is. But Soho House is a membership destination. So they have different locations all over the country,
all over
the world.
Oh, it's like the flight club, like at the Delta. Like when you
yeah,
go to
but
the,
they have their own thing. So
right.
So there is a black one.
Okay, I get it.
There's a black one called The Gathering Spot.
The Gathering Spot.
So memberships are hot right now.
Yeah.
But also, I think everybody is over-indexing on people having a disposable income. So
yes,
that's just, but I feel like I'm like the budget investor because mm-hmm. everybody's like luxury this, luxury that, luxury, and then don't know their customer.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, so who is the luxury person? There's five luxury people that can afford this, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm like, but we can talk about that. You always have good ideas, though. This is what I like to say. My favorite thing is, this is not your only billion-dollar idea.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's why you have to come through all of this because...
I wish you came tomorrow to see the next pitch I got. I got another business idea.
Everybody... That's what being an investor is. So yeah. People who want to be an investor, everybody is pitching you all the time, all the time, all the time. I'm on a podcast, he's pitching me. I'm in the bathroom, they're always pitching me. They don't care. That's why I told you, I'm like, that's why I don't lift my hair.
They always want me.
He might pitch me, but it's fun. Man. I like it.
It is. Oh, I had this beautiful conversation yesterday. And that's one thing I want people to emphasize more is indulging in conversations. Like, I realized at a certain point that I felt like I didn't have time to go into deeper conversations. Yeah. So a lot of the conversations I was having with people I liked were all surface level. I was always just asking how your day going. Oh, yeah, it's going good. But yesterday I stopped and I was talking to my friend Mariano. I'm going to get him on the podcast next week. Really cool guy. Always chill. I like to take inspiration from the people that I hang out with. And yesterday, what did he say? He said, I'm never in a rush. And I was like, wow, I love that. And me and him stood still for about 20 minutes and just was listening to music on my phone, out loud, no headphones. But what me and Mariano was talking about was he had wrote a paper. I forget what it was like called, but I remember the concept. It was like, do people look at a tree and just label a tree? Or do they look at a tree and label the properties of the tree? Like, do they see brown bark,
mm-hmm.
green leaves, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Orange fruit on the tree.
Yeah, because you just see the tree.
Mm-hmm. And...
Because you don't slow down.
Nobody slows down.
But talking about our attention spans and all that, like, our nervous systems are always in fight or flight mode.
Yes, especially now.
That's why I'm like, this is a really wonderful time in your life where you can slow down and mm-hmm. teach yourself a routine of slowness, right? Of being like, how can I indulge? Because there will be a time where you might can't do all of that. But do you have to incorporate these things? Yeah. So I'm like, I have too been looking at the roses.
Yes.
And being like, wow, that is a really pretty, bench.
Yeah, like look at it. It's built. I like the structure of it. Look at that house.
But it wasn't all architecture. I think that's why I'm like, this is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what I want y'all to understand. Like, this is a privilege that we can do all this. And we must figure out the cycle of like, our value of it mm-hmm. in it because there's like in the movies, there's an observer in the movie. The movie costs millions and billions of dollars, mm-hmm. but I'm just watching it for whatever cost. I'm the lowest cost.
Yes.
So, but there's still an exchange that has to happen to pay all of that, to do all that. So I think that we just need to figure out where your role is. But yeah, you do need to slow down, walk around, chill because what this is really sounding, this is an entrepreneurial conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are mindsets and tools that really the modern day entrepreneur has to do.
Yes.
Because, everything is fast paced.
And how can you slow down in a fast paced environment? That's the most important thing. Can you walk when everybody else is running?
Right.
Can you walk at your own pace while everybody is walking right past you without you thinking about you need to speed your own stuff up? It reminded me of when I used to play sports, and I never understood the concept of my coaches telling me to slow down until around now, and I'm super mad, but I'm only 19 still. So, but it was like, I'm so fast. I would move so fast. I would do everything so fast because it's like, how quick can I get past the next guy? But they like, if everybody knows you are going to be fast, if everybody knows you're going to always move at a quick speed, you're easy to read.
Right.
Now, if you fast and you know how to control your speed, then you're dangerous because you can walk and then you can speed up, go straight past them. And then you can go straight past them and then stop. And now they can't guess your next move. So I'm learning to apply that to my life
Everything.
Yeah. I can move fast, but why would I always show my hand?
Right.
If I always show my hand, you know what I'm saying? Everybody going to know something. But it's okay to play the ignorant card. I like to listen to things that I already know about because it's cool to act like you don't know about it because then you might learn something
more. That's what goes to the lifelong learner.
Yes.
Like, really, like, can I start from zero
mm-hmm.
every single time?
Yes.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, dang. What else did Mario Raniano talk about? Oh, the importance of, one, getting back to the getting out of your environment. Sort of like traveling, in a sense.
Yeah.
We were talking about, like, how grocery stores are, like, so drastically different in
different
America.
Places, yeah.
Yeah, versus, like, Europe.
Yeah.
And in America, I was saying, when you walk into the grocery store, the whole thing is a marketing scheme. The colors, you know what I'm saying? You see all the colors that stimulating you. They make the aisles super tall, so it seems like you in this big mansion. You got all these unlimited choices. It's 500 deodorants that do the same thing, but they got a different name, and everybody got a different scent, different color. And they strategically place, like, cereal, you know, the super sugary cereals would be at the eye level of a child. The candy at the register is at the eye level of a child because they want to see how can we get the extra purchases. We know the customer comes in here to buy what they want, but how can we slip more things into their basket by making them think it's their decision? And when you go to Europe, grocery stores are small. They built like a Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. Like over in Europe, they built like a Trader Joe's. So when you go in there, you know where everything is. You know what you want to get. They're not trying to upsell you on things that you don't want. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's important when you just walking in life because, because when you walking in life, you don't want to overstimulate yourself with choices. You know what I'm saying? You gotta choose something eventually.
Right.
It's okay to be multifaceted, but you're going to draw yourself out at a certain point. You can't do everything because you're only one person. So find a way to do everything in one field.
Right.
I can go.
And that's what a career is.
Yes.
Like, and my grandma, she was a nurse. She was a registered nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she always just be like, find a career. But all of my family is nurses. And I don't like nursing. I don't like blood. It wasn't never going to work for me.
Yeah.
I'm not good at math. I have math dyslexia. So I was just like, I'm going to kill people. It didn't work. But that always stuck with me because she's like, you can do different things in that field, mm-hmm. right? And I'm actually thinking about, well, I kind of made the decision, but I'm thinking of switching my career field now.
To what?
Being a professor.
Being a professor?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's what I want to do when I get older. Like, when I'm done doing all my stuff, I'm going to come back and be a professor. I don't want to have, like,
but no that's what. So that's what people think. Like, oh, I'm going to do that when I'm older. But I'm like, first of all, no shade, no tea, but there aren't any black women professors who teach entrepreneurship.
It's not.
And then really across the country is probably less than 20.
It's time for you to get in there.
So I was just like, I don't know. And not like that. I don't know what they be teaching y'all. I did this. This is my field. I'm an entrepreneur. So I just be like, I got to help y'all. But
I think sometimes it feels oversaturated when I'm in class. It's stuff that, yes, this is important to know, but I can Google this stuff.
Yeah.
I want to learn the nooks and crannies of entrepreneurship, the what's it called, like the life hacks of it, you know what I'm saying, things that are interesting, like teach more complicated concepts, I guess, just teach something that I can't easily
just figure
pick
it out.
Up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying,
so, I know, and that's why it's really difficult, because really you gotta just do it.
Yeah, that's
so
yes.
That's why you just figure it out, and then once it gets hard, then you be like, oh shoot,
I need help. But that's when you find a mentor, and then the mentor helps you, and then you help the mentor by, again, with that value exchange.
Right.
People want to see you help yourself before they help
literally
you.
I hate to say it, and I really, like, I don't know, I feel like I really been more on that because everybody is trying to find teammates for their company or for whatever they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, if they can't help you for free, if they can't volunteer some time for you, what make you think that they're going to want to work for you? Like, for real. And mm-hmm. I hate to be like that, but no, you got to put in some sweat equity. We got to volunteer somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You got to show up for me mm-hmm. and, you know, work. We can co-work together. We can go learn something together, you know? But if you can't commit to these, like we said, these soft skills, around it, like, mm-hmm. then what makes me think that when I really need you to do the task is going to get done because we don't have that rapport.
Yeah. I watched this interesting movie last night called Gattaca. And basically what the movie is about is deep into the future. It was shot in the 80s or 90s.
Right. I was like, this is an old movie.
Yeah. Deep into the future. The concept is You know how we got like genetically modified babies?
Right.
They started to focus more on that, and they started to identify people by the genetics that they have, mm-hmm. and not who they were as a real person. So like your people skills kind of didn't count.
Right.
And so it was this guy.
This data.
Yeah. So it was this guy. He was born. They call him like God children. So where they just natural, you know, naturally born. And from the day you're born, they can like tell you how you're going to die, what diseases you're going to have, this, this, and that, or like what you're likely to have growing up. It's not guaranteed because it's all percentages.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so it was him. And then he had a brother that was genetically modified or whatever. And so the brother could do anything he wanted because he got all the genes to do it. The parents would look at the first son like he was more so disabled because he had all these percentages going on or whatever. But he really wanted to be, I guess, an astronaut. They don't see being an astronaut the same as we see it right now, you know, putting the headgear on. But they could go to, like, different planets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to work at this company. But he was like, bro, you'll never be able to do it because you don't have the genes to do it. And people can check the genes that you have and everything. But he never gave up on the idea. So he ended up becoming, like, a janitor for the company that he wanted to work for. And it was like, what can I do to get on the other side? There's no way to really, like, sneak in, like, being who you are. So what he had to do was go under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that entails is somebody else who has the genes to do it, like somebody else genetically modified, they can sort of sell you their body. Yeah. So he found somebody to sell them his body. The guy was still alive, but all he had to do was provide everything they needed. So they take pee samples, blood samples. They check, like, your eyes and stuff, things like that, just things you can't really
like
fabricate.
Math, yeah.
So he would put all this effort in to sort of, like, become this new person.
Right.
And it was what I found most inspiring by it was that he never gave up on the idea of having
his
own
goal.
Autonomy. And so another interesting thing that he did was, okay, so him and the brother used to race. Like, they used to swim out as far as in the ocean as they could before they turned back. The first person to turn back, you know, oh, you a chicken, this, this, and that. And so the older brother will always win, the genetically modified, will always win. But then one time, he lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oh, man, he lost. And the genetic brother was shocked. He was like, how did I lose? Yeah, he was like, how did I lose? And so that was, like, right before the guy moved out and went over the radar. Nobody had seen him. They thought he died because he was supposed to die at, like, 30 from, like, a heart disease or something.
Yeah,
so the brother ended up finding him. I don't want to spoil too much of the movie, but the brother ended up finding him when he got older. And they were swimming out. And he was like, How are you able to do this? Like, you're not supposed to be able to do this. And he was like, I never saved anything for the swim back. So I will swim all the way out here, but I'm never saving anything for the swim back. Yeah. I'm putting it all out there.
Yeah, that's what, and I'd be like, don't save nothing.
Yeah. You don't never know if you're going to get this opportunity again. You might as well leave it all out there for real.
That's why you got to prepare yourself. That's what I hear in that story.
Mm-hmm.
He prepared himself. He's got his mindset right.
Mm-hmm.
He got his confidence up. His self-esteem seemed like, okay.
Because
if you're up against all that opposition, you got to have a healthy self-esteem. Probably an overly healthy self-esteem.
Yeah,
right?
So you got to be delusional when it comes to this type of stuff.
And that's okay, right?
It's, right. It's only a problem if you make it one.
Because then you have people around you. You insulated yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's why you got to keep yourself inspired.
Mm-hmm. Watch movies, listen to music. But when you watch movies and listening to music, think about the deeper thing. Observe the movie. Like, watch the movie and take something in. What can I learn from this movie? When I'm listening to a song, I challenge myself to think about how many instruments I can hear. What's the instrumental to the song? Like, what can I hear that other people not going to be able to hear? Feel the music when I paint. I like to take inspiration from things off, like, Pinterest. You know what I'm saying? I like to sort of collage it together with my own twist to it. Even if I can't get the exact dimensions of the way somebody drew it, me looking at it, I'm like, oh, that sparked an idea. So now I'm able to draw inspiration off that. One of my favorite quotes is that great artists steal. You know what I'm saying? Take from the things you get and put it together and make this big conglomerate of things that you like.
Yeah.
And who can tell you any difference? You know what I'm saying? Like, copyright is a thing, but I think it's phony. I don't like it.
No, but I think being curious is something.
Mm-hmm.
And trying new things and putting yourself out there, that's really important.
Yeah.
That's really important. Not just if you want to be an entrepreneur or, you know, blah, 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 but I think really for you as an individual, I think that that's one of the, on the hierarchies of living, like, what do you really need to be, to feel like a whole?
And YouTube University is real. Everything is there. Like,
everything you ever needed is on, is out there in the world.
It's
so
it's already been done.
I would encourage you to, I just had a talk yesterday about AI. Black and brown people are not using AI as much.
As only, we need to.
The Americans are really only using it 37%. So
really?
Yes.
Are
so,
you serious?
Yes. So if we are only 37% of Americans are using it, how many of black and brown people are using AI?
I don't know, because they don't really understand the concept of it and they feel like it's evil internet. Which it is, because if you don't, to utilize AI, you have
this
to.
This was me and my talk yesterday. Yeah. So I did that.
Yeah, to utilize AI, it's important for you to already have critical thinking skills. And
which we just talked about, if you don't read. And if you don't, or if you aren't curious,
you then don't take you, everything that come out of the AI verbatim.
And that's not how it works.
It's not good for that. But it is almost a teacher in a way. You can use it as a second friend. And I'm not saying go check on her every day, see how it's doing.
But you can use it as a second friend, too.
You can.
You can do anything. That's why I'm like, it's fun.
Throw it in there. Let it read out to you. But you have to ask it questions.
You know, don't the first question I asked ChatGPT?
What?
Can white people do R&B?
And what did it say?
It said they could.
They can.
So I'm you need to figure. You know, I'm like, you need to figure out what is going to be your entrance into it. It don't gotta be. I use it for emails.
College,
I
don't
use it. Da, da, da. It could be like I use. Like for me, I have one where I just use it for all my random questions. Mm-hmm. I have so many random questions all the time. So I just be like, what is this? What is Muay Thai?
Yeah. Who is Muay Thai?
You know who just created this? Is this black owned? I'm always thinking. So that would be my thing to end this, to be like, you know, how can we be more curious? How can we use all these skills that we talked about today into the life that we really, really want?
Yes.
You know, like everything is a tool. Everything. You are the source. So once you feel that power and transmute it into really what you want it to be, and it's not always going to be the last version of it. I think that that's in our conversation. Like, we've been open to the process. We've been open to the journey. We've been open to looking at the sky, right? So, like, the end isn't the goal. It's the outcome. But it's like, no, I'm just keeping on going. And we'll see what happens. But I have a goal to what I want it to look like, you know? Because for me, I really noticed, like, this whole thing for me, why I'm changing. I'm not changing careers because I'm doing the same thing.
I
was like, I'd never be a teacher because I'll never be poor. And that's something I'm like, I went into venture capital where it's billions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's how much I was like, I'm never going to be poor. Mm-hmm. I went to Columbia from South Central because literally I remember I was thinking, sorry to my grandma, but I was like a junior or something and I needed a computer. And she was just like, you can't get it right now. And I was just like,
I'll be damned.
I was just like, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to change my life. I always say, I'm like, I harnessed myself out of poverty.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I had this vision. I didn't know that I would be literally like Nobel Peace Prize winners would be like, you're great, or have great, amazing, wonderful, impactful bosses who are having written books and all in the, you know, all these things. You know, I wouldn't have all these things. I didn't know I was going to do it, but I knew I'm not going to be poor.
Yeah, I know what I don't want.
You
might not know what you want, but
I know what I don't want. And I know
want.
I like to be around fancy stuff.
Yes.
So it's just like, we figured that out. So I just would, you know, encourage you to know who you are.
Yes.
You know, and then be curious and get some money.
Yeah. And my last closing point is don't take no for an answer. I remember when I got to high school, growing up, I didn't like taking no for an answer. Like, I would find different ways to ask to get what I wanted. But it got to a point where I got tired of asking my parents. And I found ways to get what I wanted to myself. I didn't do it illegally, but it found a way into my possession. And I love how they just never questioned it. Like, I wanted some shoes. Boom, I got them. Austin, how did you get them? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So it's be able to find ways to get what you want without relying on the people in your life. Rely on yourself sometimes. And yes, yeah, okay to ask for help. Do that. Always be open to asking for help. But sometimes it's fun to just see stuff come into your possession. It's a lot. I like material things. I'm very conscious of the material things that I invest in, but I find ways to get them. I just got like a $500 sweater for like $80.
Y'all be killing me.
You know what I'm saying? So I found a way to get it. I'm not paying $500. I refuse to. But I found it for $80, so I'm like, all right. Yeah. Let's do it. But yeah, never take no for an answer. You did have like a quote, but do you have a quote of the day?
Yeah. A quote of the day?
I pull it out at the end. I never prepare any of the interviewees for that.
A quote of the day.
It don't gotta be nothing crazy.
I know. Yeah. I just wanna think about it. Be unhinged.
Yes. Say what's on your mind.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for this. I really appreciate the listeners and I appreciate the time. It was a really wonderful interview.
Thank you. All right. Until next time, y'all.